Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. I'm your host, Robin Bailey. And before I get to my co-host, I have to say, this is a little bit surreal, my friends. Today, we're recording episode 200. I have to go back and thank everyone who has been a guest, everyone who has listened, everyone who has shared this on LinkedIn. Yes, I see you. I appreciate that so much. And it's made our little podcast that we started a global phenomenon. And for that, Al and I are both grateful. But Al, how's your day going? Would love to hear your thoughts on where we are today, recording episode 200.
I guess I'll start off by saying congratulations. I remember back sitting in your office and deciding that you were going to start out with a podcast. And credit to you because you stuck with it. And I think a lot of people would have started, stopped, given up, recorded a few. Hey, this takes too much time, but you stuck with it and you made it a process. You made it enjoyable. You made it fun. Still remember when you came along and said, hey, because I was starting to think about starting one too based on your success. And you said, hey, why don't you just hop on with me? And thinking back, there's that discomfort. And at the beginning, it's kind of like, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And now, as you know, we have a lot of fun doing this and we look forward to it every day. We get to meet some great people. So again, kudos to you for starting out. And yeah, 200, that's a great accomplishment.
Well, I appreciate that, Al. And one of the side effects I've said to you many, many times is an unexpected side effect was the friendships that have come as a result of this. And, you know, when I was thinking about who to have for episode 200, because it is a milestone, it was very easy to decide on today's guest. We've been friends since the moment we met. He's been very supportive of the podcast. He's been very supportive of our clients and our business, of course. And we've just developed such a great relationship. So I am going to welcome you to the show, Rich. Rich Appiah is joining us today. And I'm going to do a bit of a bio because you're such an impressive person. And I think our listeners deserve to hear what you're all about. So Rich is an employment and labor lawyer with 18 years of experience advising and representing businesses of all sizes. He represents managers and senior executives. Since 2017, he has been leading his own law firm, Appiah Law, and has built a rock-solid reputation as an accomplished advisor and advocate. Rich is a frequent speaker at conferences for human resources and legal professionals. Since 2019, he's been voted by his peers as leading practitioner in employment law in the Canadian Lexpert Directory. And last year, he was voted into the 2024 Best Lawyers Guide. Those of you listening today may have heard him provide legal commentary on all major Canadian networks, including the CBC. In his spare time, Rich sits on the Board of Governors of the University of Guelph, and he is the chair of the board's Human Resources and Governance Committees. Welcome back to the podcast, Rich.
Thank you so much, Robin and Al, for having me. Before you ask any question, and before I say anything else, please let me congratulate both of you on this 200th episode of your podcast. I've obviously been listening to it and have been a guest on it before. First of all, I can't believe that you're at 200 now, but I am so touched and honored that you asked me to be a part of it. And I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. But before we get into any of that, congratulations to both of you. It's been a fantastic journey for you both, I'm sure. And I'm sure you've also got a lot out of it as well. So from learning experiences as well as your listeners. So congrats on that.
Well, Rich, thank you for that, by the way. Al and I have a lot of fun on the podcast. We meet a lot of great people and it's been some great conversations, but it's more than that. And one of the things that I truly value about the podcast is we turn off our phones, we turn off our email notifications, and we get to connect as people. And you know, it's funny, we recorded a podcast yesterday just because June has some appointments and vacations. So we did two yesterday. And the person said something at the end of the conversation that we've heard many times, a lot of the people we haven't met in person. And yet at the end of these conversations, people say, like, I feel like I know you guys. Like, you've made me feel really, really comfortable. And that's really the biggest compliment anyone could give us. And usually when we meet these people in person, it is. It's like we've known each other for all of our lives. So, and certainly you've been the same. And I'm really grateful for the relationship. But I do want to dive into the podcast because I think we've got some great things to talk about today. And one of the things you shared with me recently, and I read through it a couple of times, and it was really powerful. You were asked to speak recently to the University of Guelph grads. And one of the things you talked about in that speech was the importance of self-discovery in finding success. Can you talk about a little bit about that?
Yeah. So just a little bit of background. I was asked to speak to U of G graduating students about a year or two ago at an event that I started when I was a U of G student. So I came back 20 years later. I was the first MC of this event. I was the chair of the planning committee for this event. So 20 years later, they asked me to come back and be one of the speakers. At this event, they feature a faculty member chosen by students, a student who kind of acts as a valedictorian, and an alumnus speaker chosen by the university. And so I had this incredible, unique opportunity to speak to graduating students and share with them my own experiences and try to give them advice as a speaker would at any commencement. And the interesting part of the experience of figuring out what I was going to say, I listened. I spent a lot of time, weeks, listening to other commencement speeches. I listened to Conan O'Brien, who gave a great commencement speech back in the day, Oprah Winfrey, Barack Obama. I listened to these really fantastic speakers. There was nothing from it that I could garner because everything that they had to say was about themselves and their own journey and their own experience. So with some reflection, it occurred to me that whatever I wanted to say to these students would have to be about me and my experience. My understanding of success would have to start with me. And then it occurred to me that that's the best message to share with anybody about success, is that we will never receive the validation or the success that we want from the external world until we kind of figure out who we are inside and what makes ourselves tick. And so that was the key message. That was a key message that I shared with those students, and the key message that I share with, especially with young people who work with me or young people that I encounter in the legal community who are just trying to find their way, is that you really need to spend a lot of time understanding yourself, understanding what makes you tick, understanding even how you talk and the words you use and why you use them before you'll find the great success that you want and the great validation you want from the external world.
I'm reminded of a quote that I think of quite often, and I will probably not get it totally right, and I forget who wrote it. There are three things extremely hard in life: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself, right? So I often think about that because, and I think we're going to chat a little bit more about this, as part of your commencement speech, can you maybe share some of those things that you talked about with your own self journey and where you've been and how you got here?
Yeah. So there were two real, quite personal and challenging experiences that I had after I graduated from University of Guelph that really, once I struggled through them, helped me ground myself. So when I left U of G, I went to Osgoode Hall Law School, and my first year was exceptionally challenging, not necessarily from an academic perspective, although it was really hard. But I found myself suddenly surrounded by other students who were not like me, some not like me at all. Students who came from enormous wealth, a lot of people who came in with an attitude of cynicism about the world and a great sense of competition or competitiveness. And none of those characteristics applied to me at that time, and certainly I don't think apply to me now. So I really lost my footing in my first year of law school. I didn't really understand who I was. I felt quite lost and I became quite depressed. So after that first year, I started seeing a therapist, and it was through the course of therapy that I realized that I needed to come to terms with the fact that I'm gay. I hadn't come out to my friends by then. I actually had a girlfriend, a longtime girlfriend at that point. And for a period of time, that made things worse, because my environment was different, and then suddenly my understanding of myself was different. So I really, really struggled with that. And then started relying and leaning on close friends of mine from university, my brothers and my sisters, who really understood me and who really loved me and valued me. And that really helped me kind of climb out of that hole that I felt like I had sunk into. And it was at that point, you know, as I was going through that journey, I realized this is a big lesson that I carry with me today, that the important thing for me at that time and the important for me now as I deal with life's challenges is to ensure that I surround myself with people who share my values, who challenge me, but are also compassionate towards me and help me to be compassionate towards myself. So that was a big kind of lesson. And that was one that I was happy to share with the graduating students at U of G. The other event happened some years afterwards. So I made it through law school. I did pretty well in law school, landed a job at a great firm practicing employment and labor law. So this by now, we're in my kind of early 30s. There was an instance where I was sitting at my desk in my office, and I started hearing the sound of footsteps coming towards my office, coming towards my desk. And my back was to the door, so I couldn't hear or couldn't see who was coming towards me. So all I hear is the sound of footsteps coming towards me. My back is towards the door. And then suddenly the footsteps stop, and I hear my name call out. And I remember to this day the experience. I nearly jumped out of my seat. I know that I took a gasp, and I was just like, and then I just turned around. It was my colleague, Chris, and we talked about whatever he wanted to talk about. But after him and me chatted, I realized there's something going on here. I shouldn't be reacting that way in the way that I did. I just remember this visceral response. And it didn't take me long to realize that what I was hearing as Chris was approaching my door, the sound of footsteps, was the sound of the footsteps of my angry father when I was 6 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 16 years old. I really carried the experience of my home life with me in a way that I didn't realize I had. So, you know, continuing through therapy, what I had to come to terms with was that for all of my childhood, I lived with a father who had a horrible temper. I lived with parents who were extremely horrible to each other at times, said to this day what I think are the most horrible things that people could say to each other. Lived with a father who was abusive physically and verbally, and more hurtfully would use guilt and silence to really make others suffer. So I spent a lot of time grappling with that, you know, starting in my early 30s. And through that experience, realized that I had been living under a constant state of stress for a long period of time. There were some good things that came out of that, Alan, Robin. One of the great things about that is that I somehow trained my body to deal with stress. So especially work, when work gets stressful, I'm able to manage it pretty well, focus really well and get the job done and not really let it consume me too much. The thing that I needed to work on, I had to learn, was I'm not Superman. And when you treat yourself like you are Superman or have superpowers without recognizing that, in fact, you are a human being, you have weaknesses, and you need rest, if you don't come to terms with that, you will break. Now, thankfully, I didn't come to a breaking point, but it did take me a long time to divest myself with this self-understanding that I am a superhero when I'm really not. I'm just a human being like everyone else. And showing that compassion towards myself and having an understanding of myself from that perspective, from that human-centric perspective, really paid off in giving me a chance to be authentic, being my authentic self with my strengths and my weaknesses.
Wow. You said a lot there, and I'm really glad that you did talk about some of those things. I could follow up with about 100 questions here, honestly, but I'm going to focus on one thing. And I hear this more and more. I hear this a lot of times from my clients. I hear this because of the group benefit side of things that Robin is more directly involved in than I am, you know, around the mental health side of things, which is obviously more talked about, more open. What was it like for you to make that decision that I'd really need to talk to a therapist to get some of these things out. Maybe it was easy for you. I don't know. But how tough? Because probably that wasn't something, again, that is as people are as open about then as they are now.
When I started therapy in law school, I had really hit rock bottom. I remember that summer after my first year calling a friend of mine. I actually called him every single day and sometimes twice a day in the morning and the afternoon, frequently in tears. I had hit absolute rock bottom. One of the things that I appreciate about myself, there's a lot of things I can be self-critical about. One of the things that I really appreciate about myself is I am open to help. I have generally always kept an open mind about needing help and asking for help. And at that point, I knew I needed some help. It was not like me to be like, I have always generally been a positive, outgoing person, surrounds himself with people and derives energy from other people. And that summer, I was just completely someone else. And so it wasn't difficult for me to get to ask for help, to say, hey, I need help, go see a therapist. I will say it did take some time for me to understand that I did, right? So there's the understanding and then there's the asking. It took me some time to understand that I needed it. But once I did, once I realized looking, you know, backwards a few months, how life was going for me, I realized, gosh, I got to do something about this.
Rich, if you don't mind, I'd like to just dive a little further into that feeling when you decided, you know, I need to see a therapist. And you talked about early on in our conversation about being depressed and then more recently hitting rock bottom. I would imagine there are people out there who think feeling like that, that's normal life. That's the stresses of life. Mm. Can you talk a little bit, and I don't want to invade your privacy, obviously, but can you talk a little bit more about what are the things people should look for? What were you feeling at the time where you knew, okay, this is it. I need to get some help. And like you said, your personality is, hey, I'm open to it. But how were you feeling at that time?
Yeah. So I think it's hard to use my experience as a template for others because, you know, everyone has a different experience. Everyone has a story to tell. Just kind of like how you said, Robin, at the outset of your introduction here, and meeting people and hearing other stories, everyone has a story to tell. So I can only speak from my own experience with mental health and my experience observing, in particular, one close friend who struggled with mental health and died. I was, like I said, not myself. I was crying all the time. I would go back to see my friends, like my friends from university, who truly were and are my brothers and sisters, and not feel like I was fitting in with them. I was just completely out of place. And so, you know, that was a big sign for me. The fact that I was calling someone every day and crying was a huge sign for me. I think in terms of if I was to leave a message for other people who are struggling with mental health, I think the message would be, if you are not feeling yourself for an extended period of time, there are things that can be done to try and change it. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to struggle through day by day and feel lost. And maybe asking for help starts with just talking to a friend and being vulnerable with a friend. For a lot of us, that's actually a difficult thing to do, to call up a friend and say, hey, I'm not doing well today. It's a hard thing for me to do, but that's where it can start. And then above and beyond that, there are people, there are resources out there that can assist, but it does have to start with an acknowledgement that things are not okay. And then just making that one phone call to a friend or to a hotline or to benefits provider and just say, I'm really stuck. I really need help. Just starting from there. And then things will happen from there.
I'm glad you brought that up about talking to a friend and that being very difficult to admit that, because we live in a society where, you know, all you have to do is look at Instagram and look at how perfect everyone's life is. They're all traveling. They're all great looking because of filters. Everything's wonderful. And to be able to phone someone up and say, hey, listen, things aren't perfect right now and I need to talk to you. I mean, I think that's important that you brought it up. Now, when you were looking back at having the time now to process everything that, you know, you've been through, what kind of impact do you think that's had on your success in the business that you're in today?
I feel like I can step into the world and just be myself. And not only just be myself, but know how to be myself. And it comes instinctively now. I don't think that I would be able to promote Appia Law as well as I have to work with other lawyers as well as I have to build great relationships with clients, some of whom are my friends, unless I was able to deal with those things, to really accept who I am and the strengths and weaknesses that I bring into the world. It's so often said, you know, you should just be yourself. And a message that I left with the students who I spoke to at U of G is being yourself doesn't turn on like just with a light switch. It's not something that just clicks on and clicks off. And that's what I find the trouble with advice that we give to each other and that people give to young people these days is, you know, just be yourself. I find trouble with that advice because it's given too easily without an understanding that it takes a lot of work. It takes so much work to understand who you are. And I'm still on that journey, but I'm glad that I spent the time the last 10, 15 years investing in understanding who I am and spending time patting myself on the back for my successes, spending the time with friends who love and encourage me. I'm glad that I spent the last 10 and 15 years doing that and understanding how important it is to be intentional about that. Because now when I meet people, when I promote my business, when I advocate in court, when I argue with another lawyer, argue meaning debate, when I hang out with you two, I can do it the easiest way I know how, which is as myself, as Rich, and nothing else.
Rich, you've touched on it a few times now, so I want to pick up on it. And you talk about surrounding yourself with good people, positive people, people who are supportive. And I'm asking because I've had to do this in my life, and it was not easy at the time. Have there been people, whatever the circumstance, that were negative, were bringing you down? And did you have to cut those people out and maybe make your network a little bit smaller?
Yes. The answer to that question is yes. And I have been in one or two cases quite intentional about that. Without getting into too much detail, you know, I've identified relationships that I've had where the fit is just absolutely not right in terms of my own growth and my own values and where the other people have been. And I've also identified relationships that are just not healthy for me. And part of that was understanding myself, understanding where my weaknesses are. As an example, one of where my blind sides could be is that I used to be someone who needed to make other people happy. Take it really personal if I thought that I made someone else unhappy. Well, if you are that type of person and then you surround yourself with people who will take from you without giving back, and you're the kind of person who feels disappointed if you let that person down, there's a bad relationship there. That's not a good scenario. And so the great thing about this experience of self-discovery that I have gone through and I'm still on is that I kind of understood that's a gift. It is a gift that I can give to other people, but it is also a vulnerability if I let other people take advantage of it. So I've had to spend some time kind of identifying who are those people in my life and either moving them to the periphery, the absolute periphery, or in some cases, just cutting them out altogether. So yeah, in my early 30s, my friend group was massive. And now I'm much more judicious about where I'm going to spend friend time and who I'm going to put energy into. And I'm, to be honest, a lot more happier as a result.
Rich, you said something earlier that I want to swing back to. So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. I pick up the phone. I call my buddy Rich and I say, Rich, I'm not having a good day. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Tell me about that. You know, I've had friends who have called me with, and actually this happens a lot with clients. I've got clients who will call me. You know, I deal with people who are being harassed in the workplace. I've dealt with sexual harassment in the workplace, sexual violence in the workplace. I deal with people who are going through, pardon me for the French, but who are going through really shitty experiences at work. And I have, obviously, I've had friends who have struggled as much as I have. And the one question that I never shy away from, even though it sounds like a stupid question, is tell me why you feel that way. Tell me about it. And when I'm talking to clients, I actually say to them, this sounds like a stupid question, but why do you feel hurt because X, Y, and Z happened to you? And the reason I do that is that I just want to make sure that people know they have an outlet to speak to me. Now, in the professional setting, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. There's good reasons why I'm asking those questions beyond just kind of being there for someone. As a lawyer, I want to make sure I can step into the shoes and the experience of my clients so that I can advocate for them as best I can. But part of that advocacy and part of building that relationship is making sure that they know that they've got someone there who will listen to them and not shy away from them. And now if you called me and said, you're having a crappy experience, you know, you could tell me the story and I might still say to you, why did that make you feel bad? Not because I question that it would, but because you need an outlet to be able to talk. You need to share that experience. You need to release yourself of the emotion that you might otherwise be carrying with you. So that's kind of my approach in my relationships and certainly in work.
Rich, we've talked about a lot today, and thanks for sharing, you know, your backstory a little bit. You have a very successful law practice. You've obviously overcome a lot of challenges and obstacles. How would you describe success? What does it mean to you?
To me personally, success means that I'm surrounded by people who love me, that I'm in a safe and secure home, that I have a partner who will support me and who I love to support as well. Success for me is authenticity. And it sounds totally cliche. You hear people talk about being authentic all the time, but there has been no bigger mark of success for me than being comfortable with myself. And so that's what it means to me.
I like that answer. And Rich, it's similar to what we've done here through the podcast. And of course, we've become friends. And there's nothing better than being able to just show up as, hey, here's who I am. And not everyone's going to like me. And that's okay. Right. And I find as the podcast progressed and I realized, oh, I can just be myself here. And Alan, the more we do that, the more fun we have, the better the relationships we develop.
Can I hop in and just comment?
Yes, please, Al.
I was processing that a little bit.
Yeah.
And this may sound counterproductive, I don't know, odd coming from someone who's in the financial planning business and who runs their own business. But your description of success, contrary to much public opinion, did not once mention money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did not once mention, you know, building the business and earning a certain amount of revenue or profit or anything like that. It was all about people in your life and building those relationships and all that. So listen, I think that's a great answer. And I think too often we confuse success with money in our pockets and how many hours we spend at the company. Again, I'll go back to the old saying, no one on their deathbed ever said, wow, I wish I'd spent more time in the office.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of it is I didn't grow up with money. I came from a very poor family. Just as a quick story, I remember one Christmas, my family received this giant box full of goodies in it. And I remember thinking, wow, like Santa came early and like, how cool is this? And there's like some great food in there. There were toys and whatever. And it didn't occur to me until I was well into adulthood that that box came from one of the food drives at a church or the school. So we didn't have money. And I grew up not attaching myself to material things. If I showed you around this room, you'd see there's nothing on the walls. And part of the reason is that, and you know, I'm in my mid-40s now, so like, let's decorate now. So now part of it's being lazy. But I didn't, for a long time, put stuff up on walls because I had moved so much. And also because I didn't have an attachment to material things. As I'm older, I'm much more secure. You know, I've got a law practice that's doing well. I've got a partner. I'm not saying I don't attach myself to material things now, but one of the benefits of growing up in the way that I did is that I just didn't attach myself to those things or use those things to define my own kind of identity. The only thing that I really ever wanted was to have strong relationships and to be safe and secure. And I really worked hard to get those things. And now that I've got them, the sky's the limit. Everything else is just gravy.
Well, that is a great segue to the question that I was going to ask, because I wanted to ask you, what are you most excited about for the future?
I'm really, really excited to grow my firm. So we just hired another associate. He's a young lawyer coming from a well-known labor and employment firm. I'm really excited to mentor him and work with him and my current associate and my law clerk. I know there's this potential energy in my firm and in the people that I work with that once released, will do even bigger things. So I'm really, really excited about that and to keep pushing the dial on that.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, Rich, last time you were on the show, I don't think we had Al's signature question, but now we do. So I would love for Al to ask you, because I'm curious what your answer is going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing your response to this. So here goes, Rich. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Despite my experience growing up with my angry father, he did leave me with a saying that over time has really become embedded into my identity. Whenever he'd ask us to do something like take out the garbage or clean the house or do something, and we would grumble about it, we being my sister and my brother and I, whenever we would grumble about those things, he would say, do it with love. And I didn't understand, especially as a child, what the hell does that mean? Do it with love. I do not love taking out the garbage. So I didn't get it until I found a partner and some close friends who I love so much that I would do anything for and who would do anything for me. It's a reciprocal relationship. And so now when someone leans on me, you know, having built that relationship and invested time and energy into it, doing things that oftentimes might be seen as difficult or imposing are not, because I do it with love and I feel the love in return. So again, maybe this sounds cliche or a little cheesy, but I will kind of announce this worldwide on your podcast and anywhere else. The tree that I would plant is love, and leave that for future generations so that they can kind of pick from that tree and spread it around.
Well, that's great. And I'm glad that you shared your story with us today, because it was a great one. And well, this is a fitting episode 200. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Like I said, as soon as 200 was approaching, I knew I was going to ask Rich. And Rich, I'm so glad you said thank you. And I go back and I think back about our first meeting. We hit it off right from the get-go. Thank you to Deborah Stade, who introduced us.
Yes.
You've become such a good friend. I look forward to watching your journey, because I know you're going to be successful. You're just so great at what you do. And you work with so many of our clients that just love you. And I know they've become friends as well, because they refer to you as a friend. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your story and being vulnerable with us. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself and what you're doing at Appia Law?
They can find me on LinkedIn. So that's Rich Appia, APPIAH. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also send me an email at rich@appialaw.com.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, that does it for today's episode. Can you tell Al and I enjoyed this conversation? As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or rejoin the conversation on LinkedIn. And if I can leave a little piece of parting advice, if you're thinking about doing something and you're a little bit scared, that's okay. Take the shot. Because as we've seen here today, success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.